Okay, so I am here with Handa Randall, and she's the executive director for Manna Foods in Asheville, North Carolina. Hannah, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about what it's like to lead a nonprofit. So my first question for you would be, how did you get to where you are today?
Through a series of unfortunate events. No, I do think a lot of my story, though, is about how the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We talk a lot about nature versus nurture. I am the child of a sociologist and a social worker. And though I tried to get as far away from that as I could in terms of my career, at least at the beginning of my career and that kind of thing, I've circled back to it. So I actually graduated as an engineer out mm-hmm. of undergrad and started down that journey. Never liked being in a cubicle though, and I really just preferred to be outside and interacting with people, even though I really liked math too. So that landed me in a series of leadership positions in the electric utility sector. And from there, also not only managing kind of big industrial operations like power plants, but also doing some policy work internal to a large company. In the past, I had worked in nonprofit and then done it all along on the side because that's where my heart is mm-hmm. and always has been. And so when the opportunity at Manna came along, I wasn't looking for it, but you know, it found me, and I just feel so fortunate to be a part of what we do together at Manna Food Bank. And I really will say that it is great to be in the place where I feel like I really belong.
Right, that's great. And that actually is a good lead into my next question, which is, what are some of the challenges related to leading a nonprofit versus the for-profit? Because you do have both sides.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So what I tell most people, I get that question actually a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I tell people is there are actually more similarities than there are differences. Mm-hmm. And that's because people are people. Most people want to come to work and do a good job. And most people work at the place they work, at least for some level of a personal reason. All that stuff is similar. You know, there are organizational politics just mm-hmm. like everywhere, internal and external. There's HR stuff in, you know, everywhere. There's finance stuff everywhere. All of that stuff is similar. And for me, a food bank is very also somewhat industrial, which is similar to where I've been before. But the difference I do think is that in not-for-profit, you're working for mission versus margin. And so that attracts really passionate people. So what I've found in my experience is there, not that there aren't passionate people in for-profit, because there certainly are, it's just the percentage of them is higher right. in nonprofit, which can be really challenging. It's a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. It really is.
That makes sense.
It is, because people are very emotionally attached
right.
to the work that they do. And so that definitely has its own challenges. But at the end of the day, I think it's also by far our most powerful weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Because that if we're all here for the same reasons, so it always gives me confidence that there's nothing that we can't accomplish together.
Right. That's great. So. And I would think also related to that, there's the challenge of pay within the nonprofit sector.
Absolutely.
So to have people that are passionate.
Well, you only attract the passionate people because
right.
they're not getting paid
that's
that much.
Right. That's right.
I mean, that's the reality. That is mm-hmm. that is part of why you are only attracting mm-hmm. the passionate
people. You want
people.
Those people.
You know, because the other people aren't going to come mm-hmm. because we're not offering, you know, great pay. We pay a living wage here.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely fundamentally believe in that as one of our values. But yeah, it's not the same that you would make in a for-profit world.
Great. I'm sure the staff wear many hats in a nonprofit. They do. Similar to a startup business, because a startup business is limited with staff.
Absolutely.
So everyone has to do pitch in and, you know, work operations and also the admin side. Can you comment on whether your staff take on multiple roles, which I'm sure they do?
Oh my goodness.
But talking about it a little bit more.
Yeah, so that's part one, and that goes back to our values too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your job is here. You know, you're expected to pitch in wherever you're needed to pitch in. And that's from me washing the dishes in the mm-hmm. kitchen, which I very often do, to people stretching themselves into roles that they're really, you know, not comfortable with and not accustomed to doing. So people, I'll use our development team just as an example right now, but because we just had our second largest event of the year was Monday, Empty Bowls. And that is, you know, we have a person that runs that event, that is the lead for that event, but every single person, not only on the development team, but also several from operations and in administration and our finance side, all come together for that one event to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And are all, honestly, but we're all glad to do it. That's the great part. Because, you know, variety is the spice of life, right?
Right.
And so it does provide that variety for mm-hmm. all of us, so you don't feel stagnant. And, you know, people are able to do as much as they ever could want to do and stretch themselves here in it. So it really does provide that growth opportunity mm-hmm. for people, I think, as well.
And I would think that there's also the reward when they do stretch
yeah.
themselves and see the benefit, you
absolutely.
Know, after that.
You know, and mm-hmm. it's amazing to see what our team can do together. Mm-hmm. It really is.
That's great.
Yeah.
What is your hiring criteria? So we talked a little bit about, you know, the fact that it's you're challenged because of the pay. So,
yeah.
you know, that oftentimes is one of the things that you can do to entice good people.
Yeah.
But in terms of working for a nonprofit and wanting to hire the A players, the people
yeah.
that are going to produce and perform, what is your criteria and how do you find great staff?
So it all starts for us, actually, even with as early as the job description.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, we've changed how we do job descriptions at Mana, and we don't put for a truck driver, need truck driver to drive 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, yada, yada, yada. We say, do you want to be a part of something great that mm-hmm. helps feed hungry people in Western North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a person that has technical and industrial skills, you know, dot, dot, dot. So we really start with the mission
mm-hmm.
because we want to attract people that are attracted to the mission, that care about the mission. A lot of things that are done here can be learned. We are, you know, there's a lot of specific criteria. We have core values here, accountability, integrity, compassion and collaboration in no particular order, that of course we look for, but when it really comes down to it, we're looking, I look for attitude and aptitude. Those are, when you really get down to brass tacks, that's what it's about, is attitude and aptitude. And what that means to me is, in terms of attitude, not only somebody that's positive, but somebody that shows that they have a lot of initiative. And we mm-hmm. want to know about examples of that initiative. It doesn't have to directly correspond to that exact job. It's about, are you a self-starter? Are you self-motivated? Do you deal well with conflict resolution? Those kinds of things. But then the aptitude is about your willingness to learn too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you know, we don't do rocket science here. We, you know, feed people in Western North Carolina. And yes, it is a complex logistical operation, but it is, again, you don't need a PhD to understand it. And so we really look for people that are willing to learn the skills that are needed. They don't
mm-hmm.
always have to have had that experience, which I would have told you in the past, we would have more heavily valued that past technical experience.
Okay.
But that didn't always get us the right people who had growth potential in the organization.
Okay.
So we also have a pretty specific 3-tier hiring process, and we really try to stick to it, especially with any of our jobs that interact with the community. And we don't just do one interview of people. We always do a phone interview followed up by a in-person interview followed up by another one. And every time that's paid dividends for us because people reveal more about themselves in different settings with different people. And as you go along, somebody can fool you for an hour. Mm-hmm. Somebody can fool you for 2 hours.
Sure.
It's really hard for them to fool you for three to four in different circumstances with different people. And so we really believe in that model, and it has yielded incredible dividends for us, especially
that's
with
great.
Our recent hires over the last year or so.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I would think also along those lines, there's some comparison to maybe someone who's a little bit more green in terms of coming out of school and having maybe mm-hmm. no experience or limited yeah. experience versus someone who is more of a specialist.
Yes, and mm-hmm. obviously you consider that, and you consider balance and fit within teams, period, mm-hmm. right? You look at, does the team have all green people right now, and then we need an experienced person?
Right.
Or vice versa, right? Then you do the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so we really do look for that diversity of experience, thought, life, mm-hmm. That people bring to the table. And we really love having people here that have a fresh voice mm-hmm. and fresh outlook.
Great. Mm-hmm. What are some critical roles at Manna Foods, and how do you lead and manage your team? So some of the real, and I think my other question's probably similar, but who you can't, absolutely can't live without
yeah.
on a day-to-day
so,
basis.
Of course I'm going to tell you every role here is critical.
Exactly.
Because it is.
But if you were starting up and you needed to look at,
oh,
who
man.
Do we really need here?
Well, I think foundational leadership is key.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think about just in terms of my official direct reports, I have a chief financial officer, a chief development officer, and a chief operating officer. And the four of us, not only do we just handle our own departments, we are a super cohesive team, and then we really challenge each other. And one of the things that I love so much about us is we really solve problems together.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that we solve a problem together, we end up with a better solution than any of us would on our own. And so I would say those roles are key mm-hmm. in setting tone and direction for the organization. But at the same time, when I especially think about those critical roles, it's the people that are interacting directly with the community. That mm-hmm. are not only are they just the face of Manna, but they're that would be the conventional way to think about it. But the way I think about it is they're also the ones with their ears to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what's going on in the community. So those are our truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people on our distribution floor. They're our zone coordinators. They're the people that have their finger on the pulse with what is happening and make sure that we're authentically meeting the need that is out there because
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, challenging.
Sure, exactly.
So if I had one role that I can't live without, it is our volunteers.
Volunteers.
That was an easy one. That's a super easy one. They
mm-hmm.
are the beating heart of Manna Food Bank. We have almost 7,000 individual
wow.
unique volunteers a year at Manna. And so they literally make the work that we do tenfold of what we could do with our staff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Easily tenfold. So that to me is, there would be no Manna
mm-hmm.
if there were no volunteers,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It just would not exist in any way, shape, or form
mm-hmm.
the way that it is now.
And that is a big difference between the for-profit
yes.
and the non-profit.
Huge.
Although the for-profit, you know, has the revenue
yes.
And investors and people that, you know, they can tap into, but in terms of manpower,
oh yeah
difference.
Yeah, it's incredible when you think about the number of, you know, of hours that these folks put in,
mm-hmm.
and we have, not only do we have over 300 weekly volunteers that come every single week, we have some volunteers that are literally here 40 hours a week.
Wow, that's
they're just amazing
mm-hmm.
and just give so much of themselves.
And they're passionate.
Yes,
that's why they're
very
here.
Passionate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the role that we could never live without.
Right, which makes perfect sense. Do you have any advice or recommendations for someone interested in starting up a nonprofit company? And I would say Asheville, but also broader, because
maybe people. I actually get this question asked some too, and it's an interesting one in Asheville in particular because there are so many nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the things that we encounter is we have a lot of passionate people that come to Asheville, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of the culture of not only Western North Carolina, but even especially Asheville, is mm-hmm. people that want to do good things for their community, and that is so wonderful, and we are so fortunate. But sometimes they just don't know what's already out there. So very often I hear about people that just aren't informed about all the things that are happening in the nonprofit community. They're like, I need to go start my own nonprofit because they love people or animals or whatever their cause, or the environment or whatever their cause is. And they just don't realize what already exists mm-hmm. out there. So my advice would be, do your research mm-hmm. on what's out there. And beyond that, don't just go read on the web about it. Go connect with the people involved. Because sometimes, or oftentimes, nonprofits don't have big flashy web pages mm-hmm. that always make them look amazing. And sometimes, because that's not where they're investing their money, right? They're investing their money in the work. Mm-hmm. And so don't assume that you know what they're doing or can judge what they're doing by some simple thing you read about them. Mm-hmm. Go connect with them on an individual level, because I'm sure that they need people like you that are passionate about their cause and can figure out a way to plug you into it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say, you know, just make sure you're listening to people that are in that nonprofit community. And if you have an idea that's really never been thought of before, still talk to people in the nonprofit community because they may be able to leverage resources for you to get that started. Because that's also possible too. Mm-hmm. So we are a very... One of the things I think is great about this area in Western North Carolina is we are very collaborative. Mm-hmm. And sure, you know, everybody does compete for grants and stuff like that. But the truth is we all want, like, we really want each other to be successful mm-hmm. because we realize, I know at MANA, we talk about this all the time, you know, we supply food to 220 partner agencies in Western North Carolina.
It's amazing.
So, of course, we realize we can't do it alone.
Right.
But beyond that, just even beyond our official partners that are the pantries and the homeless shelters and that kind of thing, we can't do it without all these other services and agencies that are out there, from like Elida Home to On Track Financial. Mm-hmm. All of these are, you know, part of that. And not only in the nonprofit world, but we can't do it without our local and state and federal government.
Right.
We value them, you know, tremendously, and we definitely can't do it without the for-profit industry. Mm-hmm. Not only are they the ones that often support what we do, but they're also innovators in their own way and solving problems in the mm-hmm. community. So we value all of those things together. So,
which is interesting, because one of the things that you know, we've been focusing on in our class recently is the financial capital versus the social capital.
Yeah.
And that a lot of times that social capital, even though you do need financial capital, can be so much more powerful and can help you with the financial capital.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and the nonprofits, that's what we've seen. Seems key.
It's huge, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that there are a lot of for-profits that involve nonprofits like us and others in what they do. I mean, of course, I don't know what's beeping.
Facts.
They do what they do. they do what they do obviously to make a profit, but also like they realize that leveraging us and giving to us is good for everybody, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So exactly. And that's fine.
Yes.
So
success all around.
Yeah, success all around.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much. This is a lot of great information, and enjoyed talking with you
today.
Yeah,
I did too. Thank you.
Thanks.